the theme of the holiday weekend, I want to highlight some things about Thanksgiving. And it's actually an amazing theme that I love throughout Scripture. And I kind of find that the general attitude is like, you know, okay, ho-hum, you know, yes, we're supposed to be thankful. But it is a powerful theme we've seen before, and I won't reiterate every single theme. There are too many, and you've heard me do them every year at Thanksgiving time. For instance, in the Psalms, it is the reason God does shows us his deliverance is so that we will be thankful. But amazingly, also in the Psalms, it is in another place, it is being thankful that prepares a way for God to do those things in our life. In other words, it is both the response to God's work in our life, and it is the catalyst for God's work in our life, being thankful. So check out some of the archived messages on the website to hear those messages. In this week's Torah portion about that growing family that Aaron mentioned, it lists the sons that Jacob's first wife was having, and it was an attempt with each son's name, Reuben the first, Shimon the second, Levi the third. With each one of these sons, she names the son out of her attempt to garner her husband's connection, love, his participation. That's the basis behind the third name, Levi. It's because, you know, oh, now my husband will be attached to me. You know, because after all, most moms only have two arms. And although it seems like every mom can somehow handle, you know, as many things as possible. Moms are amazing like that. But, you know, okay, now I have the third son and I can only carry two. So he'll have to join me. She comes to the fourth son, and she has, by this point, a revelation from God, a sense of God's closeness. And she says, you know what? This time I'm simply going to acknowledge and be thankful for God's presence, God's gifts in my life. And so she names him Yehuda, Judah, which is still to this day the basis of the verb that means to acknowledge, to confess, but also to be thankful. Judah came along and it's like, I'm going to be thankful. So it's really cool how this year, not every year, but some years, this Torah portion lines up with the week of Thanksgiving. So it's the thankful son born in our week of Thanksgiving. How cool is that? I want to go into the Yeshua narratives, and I want to draw out an amazing story. And if you've been around our shul or perhaps a church environment long enough, you know this story, but I think we need to revisit it. It's Thanksgiving, after all, right? Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, beginning with verse 11. Now, while going up to Jerusalem, Yeshua was passing between, along the border of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a certain village, we're not told what it was, interestingly enough, 10 men with the Sara'at came toward him. Sara'at is the Hebrew word for the spiritual affliction that's described in the book of Leviticus, chapter 13 and 14. It's sometimes in your Bible called leprosy because of the length, the name given that in the Greek and Latin versions of the Bible. It came to be known as leprosy. But it's not, if you read carefully in Leviticus, you'll realize it's not leprosy as described in medical science. It's an unfortunate misnomer. To explain the background of that is beyond the scope of the current discussion. But suffice it to say, it is a spiritual contagious disease, not just physically contagious. It is spiritually segregating. It required one to be put outside of the community, and it brought an uncleanness, not necessarily physical lack of health, but a spiritual uncleanness. When the Bible talks about clean or unclean, it doesn't mean healthy versus sick. It means spiritually righteous versus unrighteous, able to enter God's presence or not able to enter God's presence. And then back to Luke 17, note that the verse, I found this humorous as I read it and thought about it this week. It says, and so these 10 guys stood at a distance away from Yeshua. It was social distancing. And I thought, holy moly, I never realized there was a chapter in the Bible about corona restrictions. But Yeshua, you already know, Yeshua can overcome whatever restrictions are thrown at him. They stood at some distance, and they raised their voices, saying, Yeshua, Master, have mercy on us. A prayer that Yeshua will repeatedly respond to in our lives. Have mercy on us. And when Yeshua saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest, to the Kohanim. This is in keeping with the teaching in Leviticus 13 and 14 in the Torah about how this affliction would be dealt with. They would be seen by the priest. The priests were not doctors. They were not health inspectors. They were spiritual leaders within the community of God's people. So again, this wasn't necessarily a physical ailment, though it had physical repercussions, but it was at its root a spiritual impairment. And so Yeshua tells them exactly what Leviticus would say, go show yourself to the priest, because it would be the priest that would determine if they were able to not be socially distanced anymore, and so that they could come back into the community, back into their families, back into their livelihoods. Yeshua said, go show yourself to the priests. Yeshua didn't touch them. Yeshua didn't speak to their spiritual ailment, but it simply says, go show yourself to the priest. And it says beautifully that as they went, they were healed. As they went, they were healed. The idea is actually they were cleansed. They were purified. Not just, again, healing physically, but cleansed in their spirit. That which had caused the spiritual impurity. I want to, before we even get to the thankful part, I want to point out that this is the first miracle that Yeshua does in the story. He says, do what the Torah says and go show yourself to the priest. When a person would feel as if they had overcome this spiritual ailment, they would do that. They would go to the priest, and the priest would investigate whether or not they were pure. And it says that as they left and as they were going, that is when they were cleansed. At that moment, when Yeshua said that, they weren't yet cleansed. They weren't yet purified. The miracle hadn't happened yet. And so, amazingly, they took Yeshua's word for what was going to happen. They turned around and started walking to wherever the local priest lived. Since I don't know where this story takes place, I don't know where the local priest were. It describes that at least in the first temple period, the priests lived scattered in various cities around the land. So they turned and they started going, and that's when the miracle happened. You see, they responded in trust to Yeshua the Master. They responded in faith. I think actually at the root of every one of the miracles that Yeshua does still to this day, there must be an element of trust. Even if it's small, Yeshua takes even the smallest cry at times and can build an opening that is huge. They responded in trust because they all turned around and started going. And as they went in the trust that they had in what Yeshua said, the miracle happened for them. And so it is in our lives. Sometimes I know we get stressed, we get anxious, we want to see the miracle, we need to see the answer, we need the provision, the direction, the wisdom right now. But these guys had the trust as they were going. Faith is a walk, as Rabbi Paul says, walk by faith, not by sight. We live it out. We walk it. It is something that we respond to. And as we respond to the instruction, the direction of the Most High, we see that Messiah is building in us. We see that God's work is being established in our lives. They walked in faith. Trusting God is the substance of believing in God, even when the evidence is not yet there. Paraphrase of Hebrews chapter 11. So then comes, in verse 15 of this chapter, then comes scene 2. Now one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he came back. He came back glorifying God with a loud voice. I thought this was fun. In the Greek version of this text, for the word for loud or a great voice, it's actually the root word, and you know this, mega. When something is mega, it's colossal, it's the best, it's the biggest, it's the most grand. And that's the Greek word used there. It was a mega voice, and I just found that entertaining, so I had to throw that in to describe to you the kind of voice that he was giving glory and honor to God. It was a mega voice. And he fell at Yeshua's feet, face down, nose in the dust, and he gave thanks. So note the progression that's happened. He's noted that he has been healed. He stops and he comes back. He is giving glory and honor to God. He is shouting with this colossal voice. And he falls down and he gives thanks. I love this series of actions that describes his response to recognizing that he has been healed and rescued and experienced God's kindness the same way that about 10 of you had ways to give thanks to God. It's interesting, though, it also says, as if it's a parenthetical statement, that, by the way, he was a Samaritan. And we don't get a lesson here in geopolitics because Luke assumes his readers know the geopolitical setting. But Samaritans were a local non-Jewish group of people that just didn't get along with each other. There was bad blood, and there had been bad blood literally blood, between them for centuries. It's a sad story. Murderous campaigns on both sides of this feud. But Luke throws that in as a zinger. By the way, he was a Samaritan. And Yeshua answered and said, he has these list of questions. Weren't 10 people cleansed? Where are the 9? Weren't any found who came back to give glory to God except the foreigner? Except the non-Jew? The non-Jew's the one that comes back? It's interesting, Yeshua asked these sets of rhetorical questions. I sense the struggle, the pain, the heartache, the heartbreak. Only 10%? I get 10% that come back? Man, that's not a very good return on my, you know, not that it's an investment. But that's not very high response. But Yeshua has something very special for this man. Check out verse 19. Then Yeshua said, "Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has healed you. Your trust in God has made you well." I want to, before I move to some application of this statement that Yeshua makes, I want to dig in a little bit, just a bit, into this line that Yeshua gives. Your faith has made you well. Some translations will say, your faith has healed you. Or something along that line. If we turn back to same book, Luke chapter 7, there is a story about 10 chapters earlier, Luke chapter 7, at the end of that chapter, about the woman who comes in to the dinner where Yeshua is eating with a group of religious leaders. And a woman comes in, and this is the place where she washes Yeshua's feet and anoints them with perfume, you know, the best body lotion. Now that the feet's been cleaned, you know, let's rub and massage in something to cause the sores or the, I don't know, can we think about Yeshua having calloused feet? Are you willing to think about Yeshua's humanity to that extent? And she rubs in the lotion, and some people in the room are taken back because they know who this woman is, and she's not, you know, she's not part of the club, and Yeshua said in verse 46. To these people, you didn't anoint my head with oil, you anointed my feet. And for this reason, I tell you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. And then he said to her, verse 48, your sins are forgiven. But those who were reclining with him at the table began to say to one another, who is this that is able, claims to be able to forgive sins? Interestingly, Yeshua doesn't answer their responses. He doesn't answer their opinions and objections. He overrides them and by continuing to speak to the woman. And he says, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Shalom Aleichem. Your faith has saved you, in this particular translation. Interestingly, this line, your faith has saved you, is the exact same line that's in our thankful guy story in chapter 17. In that place, maybe your translation says, your faith has healed you, or made you well, or made you whole. In the original language that the text was written in, both lines are the exact same. In chapter 7, it says, your faith has saved you. In chapter 17, the translation says, your faith has healed you. Well, as Gomer Pyle used to say, surprise, surprise, surprise. For those of you that know what a Gomer Pyle is. You see, you know. In the original language, the line is the exact same. Didn't you know that translation was the first level of interpretation? So when the translator says, your faith has saved you, and in another context says, your faith has healed you, that is a choice by the translator. The text reads the exact same. In other words, what's the point? There is no difference between your faith has saved you, delivered you, or your faith has healed you. The point is, biblically, deliverance, salvation, redemption, rescue, healing, restoration, new life is all the same idea. Yeshua doesn't just deliver you from a bad situation. He doesn't just heal you and your body. He doesn't just restore broken relationships. He doesn't just save your soul. When he does one of those things, he's done the whole package. It all goes together. And that is really, again, beyond the scope of the story in Luke chapter 17. But I wanted to point out, because we don't come around to these stories too often, I wanted to point that out. Your faith has restored you, and that can be delivering, saving, healing, redeeming, rescuing. It's a packaged deal. That, by the way, is why we can pray and believe that people can be physically healed, besides just drawing closer spiritually to the Most High, because they're the same thing, according to the Bible. So now some application. Yeshua says to him, stand up and go, for your faith has made you well. This man receives a extra layer of blessing from Yeshua. Yeshua highlights his trust. Yeshua speaks blessing regarding his trust by saying, your faith has made you well, whole, saved, rescued, delivered. The man receives a second level, a deeper level than just even the purifying aspect being delivered from Tzara'at. There is something greater, there is something deeper that's happening in this man's life. Why? Because he came back. Why? Because he was glorifying God, and quite loudly. Why? Because he worshiped, he prostrated himself before Yeshua. There was a deeper miracle. There was an additional miracle that happened in his life. Why? Because he gave thanks. Because he came back with a thankful posture, voice, and words. He glorified God with his words. His posture was to prostrate himself. His heart was to be thankful. So because he expressed that with his posture and his voice and his words, there was something greater that Yeshua gave him. What did Yeshua give him? Your faith has made you whole. All 10 of them received healing, but one of them received even an additional transformation, an additional miracle in their life, because of being thankful. Thankfulness, if it doesn't happen in our lives, usually if it doesn't happen in the moment, we're going to forget about it. We have this knack to move on, and we either forget or we just like, well, I guess it's been too long. We don't do it. But do you catch the power of thankfulness in this story? Being thankful was his response to the miracle in his life. But then it opened up even another vista for Yeshua to do something even greater, additional and further in his life. Here in this story, we see that his thankfulness is a response to the healing from the tzara'at, the itchy, flaky, scaly skin disease. It's a response, but then it becomes that catalyst for something even more. I am really thankful that, oh, there I used the word. I'm really thankful that how Aaron invited us to express ways that we want to share gratitude to the Most High. But it is a powerful aspect in your life. I challenge you to be proactive in expressing it. Yes, to each other, and yes, also to God. Find ways, be proactive. Look for reasons to thank God for things. It's simply the response to what God has done in our lives. But we see in this story that thankfulness then opens an opportunity for something even more that the Most High has to offer us. Thankfulness is the response to God's work in our life, and thankfulness is the catalyst for God to do even more in our life. God, I thank you that for this season, as I've said frequently, that this is my favorite secular holiday on our calendar, but of course it flows right out of Scripture. It flows right out of what the Sabbath is, the Sabbath being that day to give thanks to you. It flows right out of who you are and how we respond to you. Lord, I pray that you would make us a thankful people. The real aspect of being descendants of, at least for those of us that are Jewish, descendants of Judah. We're to be, by definition, thankful people. For those of us that are Christians, we've been called into a life that bears your name in the same way, to be thankful people. Lord, may it be more than a day, may it be even more than a Sabbath, even Thanksgiving more than once a week. May it be our life in relationship to you. Lord, thank you that you see our thankfulness and you will use that to accomplish even more through us. Lord, we thank you that Messiah makes all these things possible. Thank you, Yeshua, for your encouraging words. In his honor we pray. Amen.